Curlip come calling, and not some ally of Gromph. "Icewind Dale to the north," Tiago said to her, moving fast to shut the door behind her as she entered. "Dahlia reveals the way to Gromph's ugly pet." Berylip looked from Tiago to Ravel curiously.
"You are spying on the Archmage," she said with a gasp.
"Nay, we are done spying on the Archmage,"
Ravel answered before Tiago could, the mage coming back from his clairvoyance and clairaudience Dwyamers.
"And it was a fruitful exercise indeed."
"Gromph will destroy you with a snap of his fingers," Berylip warned.
"To what end?"
Ravel asked, at the very same moment as Tiago insisted.
"Not when I walk into Menzo Berenzon with the head of Drizdo Erden."
"You have found him?"
Berylip asked, and suddenly she seemed interested. She moved in close, sitting opposite Sarabel at the room's small table.
"When is your matron Xerath due to arrive?"
Tiago asked.
2 10 days. Perhaps 3.
Tiago grinned and turned to Ravel, who was similarly beaming.
"Plenty of time,"
the wizard agreed. Gromph Beanri and Methil learned much more from Dahlia that day than Ravel and the others had discerned. Not that those lesser drow would have understood the startling revelations anyway. Gromph wasn't even certain that he understood it all, but in the greater context of the events all around them, the coming darkening, the war Matron Mother Quenthel was determined to wage, a war for the glory of Lolth and the widening of her realm of influence to the sphere of the arcane, a war to wound the rogue Doerden and, by extension, the goddess who had stood by him to pull him from Lolth's clutches. The important role of this miserable Darthir known as Dahlia had truly surprised him. Gromph was not one to be surprised easily. He left Gontalgrin that day with a word of warning to Tiago to be quick to Matron Mother Quenthel's call, and another warning to him to keep the woman Dahlia alive. Unbeknownst to the Zorlarans, other than Berylip, whom he swore to secrecy, Gromph did not take his companion Mind Flayer with him. Methil still had work to do here. Gromph did not expect to see Tiago marching back into the Beanri compound any time soon, for of course the Archmage had recognized that the sneaky little Ravel Zorlaran had spied upon him and likely knew some of what Dahlia had divulged regarding the last place she had seen Drizdo Erden. Almost certainly, Ravel was even then plotting with Tiago to go and confront the rogue. So be it, Gromph decided, for this was not his play, but the game of Lolth and of Matron Mother Quenthel. He would play his role as directed, and nothing more. He was barely back in his chambers in Sorcerer, Dahlia barely back in her hanging cage in the Forge of Gontalgrim, when the Zorlaran strike force, led by Tiago, Ravel, Jarth, and Sarabel, set out on the hunt through the tunnels to the north. Part 3. The Rime of History. Even in this crazy world, where magic runs in wild cycles and wilder circles, where orcs appear suddenly by the tens of thousands and pirates become kings, there are moments of clarity and predictability where the patterns align into expected outcomes. These I call the rhymes of history. Regis came to us just ahead of pursuit, a dangerous foe indeed. The rhyme of history, the comfort of predictability. He is very different in this second life, this halfling friend of ours. Determined, skilled, practiced with the blade, Regis has lived his second life with purpose and focused on a clear goal. And when the Lich arrived at our encampment that dark night in the wilderlands of the Crags, Regis did not flee. Nay, he called out for us to flee while he continued to try to battle the fearsome monster. But for all of those alterations, the whole of the experience rang with the comfort of familiarity. The rhyme of history.
I have heard this truth of reasoning beings mentioned often, particularly among the elves, and most particularly among the eldest of the elves, who have seen the sunrise and sunset of several centuries. Little surprises them, even the tumultuous events like the time of troubles and the spell plague, for they have heard the rhyme many times. And this expected reality is so, particularly concerning the rise and fall of kingdoms and empires. They follow a course, an optimistic climb, an ascent through the glories of possibility. Sometimes they get there, sparkling jewels in periods of near perfection, the height of Mithranor, the glory of Waterdeep, and yes, I would include the rebirth of Clan Battlehammer in Mithril Hall. This is the promise and the hope. But the cycle wheels along, and far too often, the fall is as predictable as the rise. Is it the ambition or the weakness of sentient races, I wonder, that leads to this cycle, this rise and fall of cultures and kingdoms? So many beneficent and with grand hopes. A new way, a new day, a bright sunrise, and a thousand other hopeful clichés. And each and every one, it seems, falls to stagnation. And in that stagnation, evil men rise through greed or lust for power. Like canker buds, they find their way in any government, slipping through seams in the well-intended laws, coaxing the codes to their advantage, finding their treasures, and securing their well-being at the expense of all others, and ever blaming the helpless who have no voice and no recourse. To the laborers they cry, "Beware the leech!" And the leech is the infirm, the elderly, the downtrodden. So do they reflect and distort reality itself to secure their wares, and yet they are never secure. For this is the truest rhyme of history, that when the theft is complete, so will the whole collapse, and in that collapse will fall the downtrodden and the nobility alike. And the misery and pain will feast in the fields and in the sea and in the forest, in the laborers and the farmers, the fishermen and the hunters, and in those who sow and those who eat. For the rhyme of history is a sullen one, I fear, ringing as a klaxon of warning, and fading fast into distant memory and even to fable, while the new cankers burst from their pods and feast. It need not be like this. But too often it is. It was my hope for something new and better, and something lasting, that led to the Treaty of Garam's Gorge, a path I am coming to lament. And so I should be disp-